Hey, Harbor family, so good to see you this morning, and I've got some more really good news for you. On Tuesday, you officially entered escrow for 423 Kamakee Street. Can we praise God? It is amazing. It's been a long time coming, but it's happening. This is going to be the first property that Harbor has ever owned in our 21-year history. You folks know the story. We started in a little living room, and then a series of school cafeterias, and then this old dilapidated building on Kamakee Street popped on our radar, and so we had volunteer crews here 6 days a week for 3 solid months until we finally had this place free of the black mold that would have killed us all. It's only going to kill all you who volunteer. You'll see Jesus sooner. That's okay. But all of us got to enjoy this just great meeting space and home for the last 8 years. Now I'm really stoked that we're going to be putting down roots for many, many years to come. We've spent a long time building connections in this neighborhood, like launching ministries like Kaka'ako Kako and McKinley Lounge, put on block parties and movie nights and Easter egg hunts, all to bless our neighbors here in Kaka'ako. And so it's really, really good to know we'll be able to stay in Kaka'ako. But here's the thing, family. Even as we put down roots, long-term roots here in Kaka'ako, we want to keep moving. We never want to stop moving. As part of our Until the Day vision, we want to help, at least be a part of planting 100 churches in the next 20 years. That's a big goal, but we got a big God. Personally, just between you and me, don't tell anybody this, my personal goal is for the Harbor family to plant 5 churches in the next 5 years, just out of Harbor. It's a big, hairy, audacious goal, but we got a really big God. And we want to keep moving because God's people are always moving. Just look through your Bible. You see God's people moving from Ur to Canaan to Egypt to the promised land, then to Babylon, then back to the promised land. They're always moving. That's once they set down roots in the promised land, God commanded them to keep moving all the time every year because he commanded them to observe 3 yearly feasts where they would move to Jerusalem, travel. And as they were traveling up to Jerusalem, they were always singing these songs called the Psalms of Ascent. It included this song that was sung by people on the move, and it was all about how they would never be moved. How they could be as stable and secure as Mount Zion. And family, that is really good news in this unsteady, unstable world. I know there's some people here this morning who are feeling unstable right now. It could be that you got a diagnosis that just rearranged your whole world in half a minute. Could be that you had a financial plan that looked really good on Thursday, but it fell apart by Friday. Could be a friendship that seemed stable and solid until it wasn't. Could be some kind of relationship that fell apart. Could be a job that seemed secure until it wasn't. Well, God wants to have a word this morning with the people who are feeling a little unstable this morning, and I've got a feeling that's most of us. He's got some encouragement in his word for all of us. So if you got your Bible, you can open to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. If you need a Bible, there's black hardback Bibles around you. Turn to page 544 in those hardback Bibles. And once you get there, you're going to see this is a super short psalm, right? Only 5 verses. But I got to tell you, there's enough gospel packed into these 5 verses to keep you going for the rest of your life. So family, I need you to lean in this morning. It's been a long week for a lot of us, but I need you to snap out of whatever fog you rolled in here with this morning, and I need you to really engage with God's word, because I believe God has something life-changing to say to you in his word. Look at what he says in Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It cannot be shaken. It remains forever. Remember, the Israelites are singing this song on their way up to Jerusalem for the yearly feast. This is the whole church going to church camp 3 times a year. I want you to imagine that for a minute. The whole church, you're on the church bus riding up the hill to camp. Whoever's got the aux cord privileges on the bus, they put this song on the stereo. And it's a banger, so everybody on the bus is singing along. Every single person. Imagine that for a minute. Because you got to remember, these are real people making this journey with real lives. There's some people on the bus who have crushed it this year. Their crops, their harvest was good. Their family's good. Their health is good. They've been crushing it. And then there's some people on the bus who've been crushed this year. There was disease that devastated their harvest. Their fields didn't produce this year. Their four-year-old's been sick all year. They lost a parent or a spouse this year. But every single one of them on the bus, the people who are thriving and the people who are barely surviving, every single one of them is singing this song on their way up to Mount Zion. And here's what they're all singing. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It cannot be shaken. It remains forever. Oh, that's powerful. If you trust in the Lord, you're like a mountain. You can't be moved. Now, I can already hear what some of you are thinking. Here's what you're thinking. I trust in the Lord, but I feel like I'm always getting moved. All the time. I know that's what you're thinking because that's what I'm thinking. I feel like I get shaken and moved all the time. I can wake up one morning full of faith, the next morning full of fear. One morning I wake up excited and happy, ready to charge the hill. The next morning I wake up tired and cranky, just ready to go back to bed. I'm moved by almost anything in life. And so my default is to try and avoid that. When I feel like the earth is shaking, I try to avoid the things that'll shake me. But notice what this psalm is saying. It's not saying we can ever avoid the shaking. It's saying God is going to get us through the shaking. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Like Mount Zion. Now, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you know Mount Zion is not a very impressive mountain. It's not impressive at all. It's not Mount Olamana. It's more like Red Hill, all right? It's more like a hill. It's just not impressive. But here's the point the psalm is making. Mount Zion, it remains. It's been there for thousands of years. Armies have come against it. Empires have risen and fallen all around it. But Mount Zion, it's still there. Go to Jerusalem, it's still there. It remains. It can't be moved. And so the point isn't about your impressiveness. The point is about your permanence if you're in the Lord. The point is about what happens when you sink your foundations into a mountain that'll never be moved. What happens is you become one with the mountain. That's what happens when you trust in the Lord. You become one with Him. So you become unmovable like Him. Doesn't matter what you feel like. Doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. Doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. Doesn't matter what your financial report says. Doesn't matter what the voice in your head at 3:30 in the morning says. You will not be moved. I know some of us really need to hear this today because we've been letting our feelings determine our faith. And I do it all the time. Man, life gets hard and our feelings say, man, God must have forgotten about you. God must not care about you. God must not be in control of your life. And before you know it, you're making these big life decisions just based on how you feel instead of what's actually true. Well, the reality is that Mount Zion, it didn't feel unmovable every day. There were days when armies were coming against it. There were days when the walls were shaking and the smoke was rising and everybody inside the walls felt like everything was over. But the psalmist says, Mount Zion, it's still there. The mountain doesn't depend on your feelings. It just is. And so that's why the psalmist says, you are Mount Zion. You're going to be as stable as Mount Zion, as unmovable as Mount Zion when you trust the Lord. When you trust in the Lord. Now, you hear that and maybe you're saying, well, okay, I've only heard that about 87 billion times. I mean, every preacher, every retreat speaker, every Christian podcaster and Christian author, they've all told me to trust in the Lord. So what does that even mean, to trust in the Lord? Well, here's another way you could say it. rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Be settled and secure. Be self-forgetful in the Lord. And family, if you want to find stability in life, that's how you do it. Number one, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest in his wisdom. He knows everything about everything, and he's orchestrating everything according to what's best. Rest in the Lord. Rest in his power. He's sovereign over the universe. He's sovereign over your life. Rest in his goodness. He's adopted you as a son or a daughter, and he's a compassionate father. He's always got his loving eye on you. And that's why you can rest in the protection of the Lord. That's what it's talking about in verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, the mountains surround Jerusalem, and the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. Okay, so in verse 1, you're the mountain, stable and secure, but that's only because in verse 2, God is the mountains surrounding you. Just like Jerusalem's got mountains completely surrounding it. You can't get to Jerusalem without going through the mountains. They're a natural fortification. Just like the Ko'olau Mountains are for all you folks who stay windward side. They're protecting you against all the townies like me who would come over and just be invading your beaches every day if we didn't have to drive all the way up the Pali, get our ears all popping, and then drive all the way down the other side. That's what's protecting you from townies like us. It's like the Ka'iwi Channel, protecting all the people in Maui and Molokai and Lanai from all of us townies here on Oahu. We're all townies to those folks. The million people on Oahu, we'd all be invading them if it weren't for that ocean surrounding them. Now, for 15 glorious months, we did have the super ferry, right? It was amazing. 15 months, we had it. So a bunch of us Harbor families, we got those $5 tickets on the super ferry, $5 for each person and $5 for your car. It was just amazing. So a bunch of us loaded down our SUVs with camping gear, strapped big bins to the top of our trucks, and we drove onto the super ferry to go and invade Waianapanapa State Park in Maui. As we were driving off the super ferry, all the Maui dock workers were giving us stink eye, let me tell you. They did not want us to be there. We could feel it. And eventually, all those Maui guys and the Kauai guys got the super ferry shut down. So now they're safe from us again. Now they've got the ocean surrounding them, protecting them. They're safe. And the psalm says that's what God does for his people. Do you get it? This is geography as theology. Nobody's getting an SUV to Maui without sailing through the channel, and nobody's getting to God's people without going through God. Anything that's coming at you has to go through God to get to you. Family, let that swirl around in your soul for a minute. God is between you and anything that's trying to get to you. Not just on one side, not partially, completely. Above you, below you, on your right, on your left, the Lord surrounds his people. And then notice the timestamp on that promise, both now and forevermore. So this isn't some Memorial Day only sale. This isn't some while supplies last kind of deal. Now and forevermore means it's present tense and eternal tense. Now and forever from now. Not just the days you get your act together, not just the days you read your Bible, not just the days you don't raise your voice at your kids. You can rest in God's protection every day, now and forevermore. Now, maybe you hear that, and you're like, okay, that's a nice mantra. God protects me like mountains surrounding me. Okay, that's nice, but what about the reality that I'm experiencing? Well, what about what's happening to me right now? It doesn't feel like anybody or anything's protecting me right now. Feels like the world is winning. Feels like the darkness is winning. Feels like things are just falling apart. Well, remember there were times when God allowed things through the mountains into Jerusalem. He specifically, deliberately allowed it. But it was always for a purpose. He always had a good reason behind it. So that trial that you're going through, it came through God before it got to you. So he feels it alongside you. And there's a reason he let it through. To shape you, to refine you, to grow you. What I've noticed from my life is that it's lots of times when you're riding high, that's when God allows things through the mountains. Like this week, Tuesday, an hour, literally less than an hour after we entered escrow, I found out that my identity had been stolen for like the last 6 months. And so I spent the whole rest of the week trying to shut down credit card accounts and cell phone accounts and internet accounts that had been opened in my name all across the country. Then on Thursday, I found out that a cousin who I just loved dearly had just stopped breathing, leaving behind a wife and 5 kids. And so I know from personal experience, I know from recent and raw experience that we don't like it when things come through the mountains. We just don't like it. And so the way we respond to that is that we try to build walls to replace the mountains. We try to build our own man-made walls to protect ourselves. Physical walls, psychological walls, relational walls, financial walls, like I've been trying to rebuild all week. But here's the thing about our man-made walls. They never last. Our walls don't work for long. A long time ago, Cindy and I got to go visit the Great Wall of China, and it is just an amazing accomplishment. It's just mind-blowing. 20 feet wide, 30 feet tall, 13,000 miles long. Just astounding when you see it. The Great Wall, it was built to keep the Mongols out of China. But here's the thing. The Mongols made it through the wall. They made it right into China multiple times over the centuries. Do you know how they did it? They just bribed one of the wall guards, one of the border guards, to let them through. That's all. That's all it took. Just a hundo in a handshake is all it took to breach that wall. Our man-made walls just don't work. So here's the question. What man-made walls have you built to try and protect yourself? What defenses have you built to try to make yourself unmovable? Maybe a big bank account to try and protect you from financial danger. Maybe buying guns to protect you from physical danger. Maybe building guns to try and protect you from physical danger. I don't know what kind of man-made walls you've tried to build. But our man-made walls, they can defend us for a little while, but eventually something gets through. Something always gets through. Well, the promise of God is nothing gets through him unless he allows it for a reason. And so you can rest in his wisdom and power and protection. You can rest. Because look at what it says in verse 3. The scepter of the wicked, it will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous will not apply their hands to injustice. The scepter of the wicked, what is that? That's just the rule of evil. We're talking about individuals and institutions that go against God's people, that go against you. And God's saying, yeah, sometimes it does look like they're winning. Sometimes it looks like that. Maybe you've experienced that at work. Your boss wants you to fudge some numbers or falsify a report, and if you don't go along with it, you're not going to last very long. Or maybe your coworkers want your work to be just like their work. They want you to have the same pace of work as them, which is pretty much not working very much at all, and if you don't go along with that, then they'll make you not want to hang around for very long. Maybe you've experienced that in politics. Like, on both sides, there's people who claim to be fighting for morality, but they've got radically different definitions of morality, and none of their definitions really match the biblical definition of morality. On both sides, there's people who claim to represent Jesus, but their lives just don't look like Jesus. And so faithful Jesus followers are always going to be caught in the middle of all of this. Faithful Jesus followers are going to get knocked around. So God is saying, yes, there is real wickedness and it's got real power. But then look at what he says. It will not remain. It won't remain. He doesn't say it won't hurt. He doesn't say it won't be as bad as you expect. He says it will not remain. I won't let it go on forever. And you want to know why God puts a limit on the wickedness that comes at you? Look at what he says at the end of verse 3. It's so that the righteous will not apply their hands to injustice. It's so the wickedness around you doesn't become wickedness inside you. That's why. Have you ever been treated so wrong for so long that you started fantasizing about revenge? You started making some concrete plans for how you were going to get even? Now, I've been there. We're just tempted sometimes to fight evil with evil. And that's why God says, no, I'm going to limit this. Evil has an expiration date. It always does. Always has. At the cross, it looked like evil had won. On Friday, it looked like Judas won. Looked like the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin won. Looked like the Roman soldiers won. That's what it looked like on Friday. But then Sunday came. And the resurrection, that's the proof that evil has an expiration date. So family, I want to tell somebody in this room who's going through it right now. You're going through it right now. What I want to tell you is whatever it is, it's not permanent. It's not. The situation that feels like it's never going to change, the depression that feels like it won't lift, the oppression that feels like it'll never end, God says it will not remain. Wickedness, it won't have the final word. It won't. And in the middle of the wickedness, God's going to accomplish good. That's the prayer in verse 4. Look at what he says in verse 4. Do what is good, Lord, to the good, to those whose hearts are upright. Do good. Why? Because God is a good God. He's always blessing, even when we're in the middle of the shaking. And so, family, if you want to find stability, that's number 2. Look for the good. Look for the good in the middle of your grief. Now, I know that most of us define good as no suffering, no injustice, nothing going wrong. We define good as a comfortable and copacetic life, no problems. Well, you want to know what God's definition of good is? He gave it to us in Romans 8. Look at what he said. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his definition of good. His definition of good is when you look more like Jesus every day. And God knows that usually doesn't happen when you're sitting in a lounge chair by a pool somewhere. Usually not. I don't know, maybe you're different. Maybe you read like Augustine's Confessions and Calvin's Institutes when you're sitting by a pool. Maybe that's you. That's not me. That's not what I'm reading. And so God has to use different tools to make me look more like Jesus. Usually he has to take me through some tough times to make me look like Jesus. And so that's what this psalm is asking for. It's going, hey, Lord, this season is rough. This journey is long, but I know you're a good God. And so I'm asking you to be who you are. I'm asking you to act in accordance with your character. Do what is good, Lord, to the good. Now, we got to clarify something here. We got to clarify something, because I think there's a lot of us who might hear that and immediately disqualify ourselves from that. We hear that prayer, do good to those who are good, and we're like, well, that's not me. I know the things that I've done. I know the things that go through my heart. I know the thoughts that run through my head. And so when it says, do good to those who are good, I'm not in that category. I'm not in the category of those who are good. And you know what? You're absolutely right. 100%. But here's the good news of the gospel. When you put your trust in the Lord, what you're doing is putting your faith in the one person in the universe who is completely good. You're putting your confidence in Jesus. When you put your faith in him, his goodness becomes your goodness. His righteousness gets credited to your account. And so when God looks at you, he sees the goodness of his son. Family, that's the gospel. That changes everything about how you relate to God. It changes everything about how you live in this world. Because there's another part to the gospel. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, as for those who turn aside to crooked ways, the Lord will banish them with the evildoers. Peace be with Israel. That's the warning right there. And I don't want to skip over it because the psalm doesn't skip over it. These two things are both true. There's blessings for people who walk with God, and there's consequences for people who walk away from God. People who deliberately and persistently turn away from God. People who turn aside to crooked ways. We're not talking about somebody who did a crooked thing, somebody who fell, sinned, but then returned and repented. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about a conscious decision to walk for a long ways in a direction that you know is wrong. And God says there's going to be consequences for that. You'll be banished with the evildoers, banished from God's love and grace and goodness for all eternity. And so what we're talking about here is the reality of hell. And tragically, I think there's so many of us who've been inoculated against that reality. It just doesn't affect us the way that it should. And so that's why the last few words of this psalm, it's really a wake-up call. Peace be with Israel. It's calling me to be floored by the fact that I have the peace of God instead of the wrath of God, which is what I deserve. I gotta be floored by that, and I got to celebrate that every day. And so that's what you do if you want to find stability. Number 3, celebrate the gospel. Celebrate the good news. Don't let it become old news. Don't let it become old hat. Take time every day to celebrate what you have in Jesus and to celebrate what you've been delivered from by Jesus. I know There's a lot of us who've been walking with God for a while, and we've heard about our sin so many times, it just doesn't break our hearts anymore. It just doesn't. There's lots of us who've heard about God's grace so many times, it doesn't warm our hearts anymore. We've heard about God's wrath so many times, it doesn't overwhelm our hearts anymore. And so here's what John Piper says is going to happen if that's us. He says, when the heart no longer feels the truth of hell, the gospel passes from good news to simply news. The whole affair of salvation seems ho-hum. My entrance into paradise seems as a matter of course. This unimaginable miracle of salvation just becomes meh. When the reality is, I was at war with God, and the war was going really badly. I was about to be banished from God eternally, along with the evildoers. But then Jesus was banished in my place. And he did that to bring peace, to bring shalom, wholeness and completeness, everything in its rightful place. That's the peace that Jesus brings. That's what he promised when he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Yeah, the world gives transient peace. It comes and goes only Jesus gives permanent peace, makes you unmovable as a mountain, because you become one with the mountain when you trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord. I think there's three different groups of people here this morning. Three different categories that we're all in. There's some people here who've never put their trust in the Lord. You respect Jesus, you just have never relied on Jesus. Well, today is the day. This is your moment. Talk to the person who brought you. Talk to one of the really friendly people at the Aloha table. They'd love to help you put your trust in Jesus for now and forevermore. There's people here who were trusting at one point, but lately you've been wandering. Lately you've turned aside to crooked ways. And what God wants to say to you is, come back to Mount Zion. You're welcome anytime. The gates are always open. My arms are wide open. Come back. And then there's a group of people here. And you've been trusting, but you're also trembling. You trust Jesus, but you're also terrified. And what the Lord wants to say to you right now is, remember that I'm surrounding you. There's nothing that's going to come at you unless it comes through me first. And so whatever comes at you, I feel it with you. I prove that at the cross because I'm the God who's got scars in my hands. I'm the God who knows what it feels like to be oppressed. I'm the God who knows what it's like to cry out in fear and despair. I'm the God who knows what it's like to put my life in the hands of the Father. Jesus is calling you to trust him. Maybe like you've never trusted him before. When you trust him like that, this promise is so powerful. You become like a mountain. Like a mountain. Not because you worked to become one. Not because you psyched yourself up to feel like one. You become a mountain because Jesus died and rose to make you one. So today, family, I want you to walk out of here like a mountain. I want you to walk out of here with confidence and joy and peace. Mount Zion cannot be moved. And because of Jesus, neither can you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. In this unstable, unsteady world, thank you that we can be unmovable. We might shake, like the earthquake shook us a little bit this week, like the winds might have shaken our walls a little bit this week, but we won't be moved because Jesus was shaken in our place, shaken by your wrath and judgment in our place. Thank you that Jesus was banished so that we would never have to be, so that we could rest in your wisdom and power and protection. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.